Come on, give God the praise. Come on, give God the praise. Hallelujah.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
The Word with Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I invite you to stay tuned as I share a powerful message from God's Word that will change your life. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And now, here's today's message.
I'm receiving, thank you. Say, how do you receive peace? Thank you. How do you get joy? Thank you. How do you get strength? Thank you. That's all part of the inheritance. How you get healed? Thank you. How you get blessing when you need it? Lord, thank you. And all of these thank yous are backed up with promise on top of promise, on top of promise, on top of promise, on top of promise. That's why I'm saying thank you, because I done been in that word, and I done found out what's in the will. And I know that that's the will of God, so I say thank you. And old devil will come along right in the middle of your party. Well, where is that? You're thanking him for it, but where's that? I don't see it. Where you feel? And that's when you got to say, I ain't moved by what I see. I ain't moved by what I feel. And you messing up my praise. Get out the way. Thank you. Hey, hold my mule. I feel it coming on. Hold up, devil. Hold this mule right here. I'm finna rejoice. God finna make me a table right here in the presence of my enemies. I'm fixing to rejoice right in the midst of all you devils. Thank ya. Can you say thank you? Well, you don't say thank you unless there's been an exchange of something. Thank you is the acknowledgement of something you have received. And I ain't got to feel it to know I got it. I ain't got to see it, because if God said it was mine, then it's mine. And I'm just going to keep on giving glory, because when I started giving glory, it started heading toward me. I started calling that thing. Now, let me tell you another time I got fully persuaded. I had resigned from a job, didn't know what I was going to do. Future was in doubt. I don't know where I'm going to find a job. I quit cold turkey. Me and Pastor CeCe made a decision. God told me to resign from my job with no job. And Gabriel was 8, Treasure was 4. And I got a house payment, got car payments, got all the other stuff come with that. And he said, quit today. I said, okay. So I just did it. Now, I don't want you to think that you can go do that without God telling you that. I had a word from God. That's why it worked for me. If I'd have just did it because I'm unhappy, y'all would have seen me on side of the road picking up cans. I'd have been picking puckcones, pecans, puckcones, whatever you, however you want to call them. Where I come from, they puckcones. Pecan, you know, all these proper people, the pecan and all that kind of stuff. What you say? Pecan. She say pecan. Listen, listen, listen. When they first integrated the schools, I was in the fourth grade at Nagman. It's first time I went to school with little white kids, you know, they integrated us, put us together. And they was all talking about these pecans. I said, pecans? What's that? What y'all talking about? He said, you don't know what a pecan is? I said, no, what's a pecan? What's it? You ain't never seen a pecan? I ain't never seen a pecan. What is a pecan? The boy pulling out, like, he said, one of these. I said, oh, a pecan. Oh, you talking about a pecan? Yeah, I know that. That's a pecan. I said, yeah, man, that's a pecan, man. I know pecan. Where you get? Where y'all learn how to talk? They had all these crazy words like gross, weird. I say, what does all that mean? I never heard the word gross. Ooh, weirdo. You weird. So what's all? You know, it's a different language, boy, I'll tell you. But anyway, where was I? Let's see. Fully persuaded comes as you're meditating on the word.
And you left your job.
Okay, I left my job. And one night, I'm in the process. Make it short. I was in the process, but then I heard the Lord speak to me. I was in the sound booth, working in the sound like Robert working back there. And I was standing up, and it was at the end of the service, and the pastor was praying over people at the front. So I had my hand extended, and I was praying for the people, and I was praying for him, for God to bless, for God to anoint him, for the people to receive, and I was praying. And then suddenly, I heard this. I would not abandon you. So I looked back, and wasn't nobody back there. I looked. I said, well, ain't nobody back there. I said, it must have been the Lord. I said, so I turned around, and I said, what did you say? Then I heard these words again. I said, I would not abandon you. Now I got a process, because I'm saying, is that just me? Is this my mind? Is this me, or is this the Lord talking to me? So I examined. I said, I will not abandon you. I said, now, if it was me, I wouldn't have used the word abandon. I would have used the word forsake. That's the word I would have used if it was coming out of my mind. I would never use the word abandon. I said, this must be the Lord. Then I thought real quick. He shared with me real quick what abandon means. It means to be left without aid or support. To be left to one's own means. I say, Lord, you're telling me you're not going to leave me without aid or support. You're telling me that I'm not going to have to fend for myself. Amen. So in that moment, I said, don't take long to get fully persuaded. In that moment, I said, that's the Lord. I said, okay. I closed my eyes. And I thought about that word over and over. I will not abandon you. I let it play. I will not abandon you. I said, thank you, Lord. You will not abandon me. You will not abandon me. Amen. And then all of a sudden it went, poof, down in my heart, in my spirit. And I said, okay, I got it. You will not abandon me. I got it. Thank you. I got it. Somehow you're going to make a way for me. I don't know how you're going to do it, but and then when I believed, see, there's something about being fully persuaded that come along with it. It's joy and peace and the absence of worry and the absence of fear. These things scatter. Fear and worry scatter when you get fully persuaded, because when you're fully persuaded, you become like a bulldog. You just ain't going to accept nothing else. You just ain't going to accept nothing else. You got it, and it just can't be no other way. So fear goes, doubt goes, unbelief goes, and joy and peace come. And when I shared it with Cece, she got fully persuaded too, and we just couldn't worry about our future. God had us. I say, he got us. Somebody say, what y'all gonna do? I say, well, we're gonna trust God. I was happy. They was wanting me to say, I'm going to fill out an application. I'm going to put in for a job over here. You know, I'm going to do this right here. And I got a plan. I didn't have no plan. I didn't have nothing. All I had was faith in God. And that was enough. And God opened doors supernaturally. I don't even have time to tell you. So fully persuaded is so powerful when you get to that place, because you're in the will of God and you have been consumed with his promise and with his word to you. His voice has become the greatest voice in your life. His voice drowned out every other voice. You know how when children are little, they mom and daddy's voice is the biggest thing in their life. They don't believe nobody but what mama say, daddy say. How you know mama say? If mama say, that's what it is. But as they get older, then their friends start speaking and his friend's voice get louder. And mama can say, but he say, yeah, but John say. Sally say. Yeah, I know you saying that, but Sally told me. Look, I don't care who Sally is. This what I'm saying. See, your voice started to get smaller. Well, when you're fully persuaded, God's voice is booming. It's the biggest thing in your life. You are consumed with him. Now, y'all in James chapter 2. So then you got to have corresponding action. Listen at this right here. Hallelujah. Look at verse number 14, and I'm going to try to hurry here. All right, it says, I'm going to read this out of the Amplified Bible. Y'all going to relate to this. He said, what is the benefit, my fellow brothers, my fellow believers, if someone claims to have faith but has no good works as evidence? It says, can that kind of faith save him? No, a mere claim of faith is not sufficient. Genuine faith produces good works. If a brother or sister is without adequate clothing and lacks enough food for each day, and one of you says to them, go in peace with my blessing. Be blessed. Keep warm. Feed yourself. But he does not give them the necessities for the body, what good does that do? Now think about it. If somebody in here tonight ain't got no food on their table, and you know about it, that they ain't got no food to eat tonight, and you say, well, praise the Lord, bless the Lord, just keep blessing God. God bless you. And you got a pantry full. What good did you do that person? Nothing. Now, he said you didn't benefit them one bit. Just telling them God bless you, he said, is not enough. Now, he's going to make a parallel with faith here. Look at what he says next. He says, so too faith, if it does not have works to back it up, is by itself dead, inoperative and ineffective. For strong faith to really work, you really have to have some action. But someone may say, you claim to have faith and I have good works. Show me your alleged faith without the works, if you can. And I will show you my faith by my works, that is, by what I do. You believe that God is one, you do well to believe that. The demons also believe that and shudder and bristle in awe-filled terror. They have seen his wrath. But are you willing to recognize, you foolish, spiritually shallow person, that faith without good works is useless? Was our father Abraham not shown to be justified by works of obedience, which expressed his faith, when he offered Isaac, his son, on the altar as a sacrifice to God? You see that his faith was working together with his works. And as a result of the works, his faith was completed, reaching its maturity when he expressed his faith through obedience. See, once you have faith, then there's an action that has to happen, an obedient action, either to speak the word or to do what God has instructed you to do. Sometimes you can't do nothing, you just got to speak the word. So you start mixing faith with the word, and you speak the word, and you obey that way. And then when God tells you to do something, you do it. For instance, All right, y'all remember that time the Lord told me to believe for a $10,000 raise on my job? So I started working my faith. You know what I started doing? I started giving thanks. I think it was during this time that the Lord showed me all this stuff about faith, about how to be fully persuaded. It's why I was thanking him. You know what I was doing? Lord, I thank you for a $10,000 raise on my job this year. I don't know how this is going to happen, but Lord, you God. Nothing's impossible with you. I praise you. I give you glory. I got increase. Praise God. You increase in my family. Thank you for a $10,000 raise. And while I was praying, then wisdom came, and he said, now, your raise is going to come in two parts. And he told me about how much the first one was going to be and how much the second one was going to be. He said, the first part going to be given to you. The second part, you're going to have to fight for it. What was amazing about that, the night he told me that, within a week, the company made a corporate-wide announcement that nobody getting a raise for 15 months. Everybody, because poor economic times. Nobody going to get a raise. So everybody's salary frozen for 15 months. And God spoke to me a week ago, told me to believe him for a $10,000 raise. And I accepted the challenge. I said, okay. So the Lord was teaching me. I'm teaching you tonight. So then there came a time that I was going to have to act. I'm finna find out something about my father. Can he really work in corporate America? Can he work around all these policies and rules and make stuff happen? So I'm going to find out some stuff. So I was happy. I said, devil, just make it more impossible than it is, because the more impossibility you build in it, the greater my testimony going to be. I got this thing. And about 3 or 4 months after that, my boss calls me in. So he said, Greg, I got some money for you. I said, me? You know, you play dumb, you know. I said, who, me? He said, yeah, I got some money for you. I said, I thought they had a freeze on all these raises and stuff. He said, well, they do. He said, and I'm surprised. He said, but I already checked with HR because I didn't want to give this to you and had to call you back in and take it back. And guess what it was? Close to the figure God told me, because he told me about. See, that confused me. I said, well, Lord, why you give me an about number when you knew the exact amount? Why you didn't tell me exact? He said, well, look at the scripture. You know, about this time tomorrow. So I found a lot of about. About 5,000 was present. Now, he could have given you the exact number. Sometimes he'll speak like that. So he say, your raise is going to be about this amount. So I checked. I was wanting something more specific because I didn't understand. But then he had to show me in the scripture that sometimes he'll talk to you in generalities like that. It's going to be about this. He's dealing with men. So it was that. And then he say, now, the next part you're going to have to fight for. I say, okay, what I have to do? He say, I want you to write a letter. He say, I want you to write a letter, put it in your desk drawer for 30 days, then take it out again. And I wrote the letter to the best of my ability. And when I pulled that letter out and read it, I had to hold it like this. It was so much bitterness and anger that I didn't even hardly want to touch it. It was loaded with emotion. I said, if I had to turn this in, they'd have been trying to fire me. So the Lord told me, he said, now, I said, Lord, this is bad. I'm glad you had me put it away. He said, well, when you wrote it, you was emotional. Because I found out that I wasn't being promoted like everybody else. That I was 2 position levels lower than where I should have been. He said, now, drain all the emotion out of it. He said, now, just leave the facts on the paper. No emotion, no accusation, just facts. Attach the promotion policy to it, because it's written. And then I went and took it to my boss. And my boss read it. You know, when he read that, he said, you know what? You're absolutely right. We're going to do something about this. He said, let me handle this, Greg. I'm going to take care of this. So I didn't hear nothing for a month, and I kept asking, Lord, you need me to do anything else? He said, I got it. So 2 months passed. I ain't heard nothing. I say, Lord, did he turn it in? Is it still on his desk somewhere? Did he forget? I ain't heard nothing. I got it. keep working. And one day he called me in. He said, guess what? Got a promotion for you. Guess what? It was about the second figure. Why they had a freeze on. Then a couple of months after that, called me in, promoted me again. I went way beyond 10 in 1 year. I ain't telling you that to brag on me. I'm trying to increase your faith. That whatever God speak to you, you can have it. I'm showing you the process of believing God, and your faith got to have action to it. If you believe in God for a job, you can't sit on the couch all day. You got to put an application in somewhere. You pray, you know, it's, well, I'm sitting here, you're popping popcorn up. You got the bucket of popcorn, and you got the movies going on, and say, what you doing? I'm believing God for my job. Really? Kind of job you want. So you had to put some action to it and say, I'm trusting God. And God, I'm going to go looking today. Now you direct my actions because I'm trusting you for a job. You know what I'm looking for. You know what I want. And Lord, I'm going to put some applications in. But Lord, I'm trusting you to direct my steps because I know job is mine. You got to have action. And then there's other examples that I can give you about how you have to release your faith. In Acts chapter 14, Paul was preaching, and there was a man who had never walked. And the Bible says, and Paul preached the gospel to him, and then Paul perceived that the man had faith to be healed, but he's still crippled. Well, if he had faith to be healed, why didn't he get up and walk? Paul understood this principle. He said, he has faith, but I got to get him to act. So Paul reached down and grabbed him and said, get up on your feet. So he got the man to release his faith in God, and the man began to walk. The woman with the issue of blood, she kept saying, if I can touch the hem of his garment, that's an action. Right? When the four men carrying the crippled person on a stretcher, they tore a hole in the roof, and the Bible said, and Jesus saw their faith. What was he seeing? Their actions. Their actions was showing their faith, that they were so determined that Jesus could heal this man and say, we get you in this meeting. Look, Jesus ain't going nowhere. We got to tear a hole in the roof. You getting healed today. Yes. And the Bible says that Jesus saw their faith and then told that man, your sins forgiven. Take your bed up and go home. And that man who was paralyzed got up and walked out of there carrying, toting his bed. Their actions were seen. See, faith can be seen. Faith can be heard. Just like unbelief. You know how you know somebody got unbelief? You can hear it. You can see it. Well, if you can see unbelief and hear unbelief, then you can see faith and you can hear faith. And you can see it in operation. There's an action to it. Now, James chapter 1, 19, it says, understand this, my beloved brothers and sisters. Let everyone be quick to hear. To be careful, thoughtful, a careful, thoughtful listener, slow to speak, a speaker of carefully chosen words, and slow to anger, patient, reflective, forgiving. For the resentful, deep-seated anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God, that standard of behavior which he requires from us. So get rid of all uncleanness and all that remains of wickedness. And with a humble spirit, receive the word of God, which is implanted, actually rooted in your heart, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves doers of the word, actively and continually obeying God's precepts, and not merely listeners, who hear the word but fail to internalize its meaning, deluding yourselves by unsound reasoning contrary to the truth. For anyone who listens to the word without obeying it, he is like a man who looks very carefully at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he
he immediately forgets what he looked like. But he who looks carefully into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and faithfully abides by it, not having become a careless listener who forgets, but an active doer who obeys, he will be blessed and favored by God in what he does in his life of obedience. Everybody say, you got to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. I say the only way for this word not to affect you is for you to be a hearer only. Somebody that just listens but doesn't do. When you become a doer of the word, that means you practice the word, you do what it says. To do it God's way requires faith, because it go against the grain of how we train and how we taught and things like that. But you got to get on, you got to get on the faith system, because that's the system that works. You got to get in faith and stay in faith, and you got to believe God. And so strong faith